Anytime somebody says, you know, you're just a piece of junk, then you can look at him, you can say, yeah, but I'm God's junk, right? I may be just a disposable plastic model with no worth or value because I'm perishable. But you and I, even though we're perishable, we have been filled with Jesus, with the grace of God, with the forgiveness of our Lord and Savior, and in and through that atoning sacrifice, we have this priceless treasure in us, and we are priceless. We are valuable beyond an estimation at all. Tonight, I want you to think about our mission statement for a moment. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are marked with the cross of Christ forever. X marks the spot. And we are praising. That's why we're here. We worship. That's what God's people do. Or they're not God's people, right? I mean, it's as simple as that. That's what God's people do. God's people praise the Lord. And God's people proclaim. And God's people practice. In other words, we preach good news, and we practice that good news in daily life. So the question for tonight is this. What are we preaching? What are we preaching? Because as Luther said 500 years ago, we're all preachers. He called us the priesthood of believers from 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. Why? So that you may preach, proclaim the marvelous deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his light. Once you were no people. Once you were no people. But now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So, what are you preaching? You're always preaching something. I'm always preaching something. What are we preaching? It's an important question, and Paul addresses it in our second reading for tonight. This past Wednesday, I was at the men's Bible study at Panera, 6:30 in the morning, and one of the participants, his name is Michael. Michael shared with us a story. He's a photographer, among many other things, but Michael and his wife take pictures at weddings. So, he said, I've got to tell you guys what happened. A couple of weeks ago, at a wedding that he and his wife were photographing, the bride comes in, walking down the aisle. You remember that, 30 years ago, right? The bride comes walking down the aisle, and then the groom is there to receive this gift of God. And then the pastor said, if there's anyone here who can show just cause why this man and this woman should not be united in holy Christian marriage, let them speak now or forever hold their peace. And sitting in the front row was the groom's mother. And she stood up. And being good photographers, Michael's wife had the camera ready to capture the moment. She stood up and she said, your dad and I are getting a divorce. And she sat down. And in case we didn't believe it, Michael showed us the picture on his camera, on his phone. Needless to say, when someone preaches, and that's what that mother did. I mean, we were beside ourselves. We said, are you kidding me? At her own son's wedding, she does that? Now, there is someone that I believe needs the priceless treasure poured into an earthen vessel. She needs Jesus because obviously this is someone who is deeply wounded, broken, crushed. Who would do this at their own son's wedding? You see what Paul's getting at in our epistle lesson for tonight? But we have this treasure in jars of clay. Disposable water bottles. Why? To show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. Did you hear what Paul said? I mean, listen to this. If you don't think you have a mark on you, if you don't think that there should be a warning sign now that you are baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, listen to what Paul says. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. We are, Paul says, carrying in our earthen vessels, these jars of clay, the death and dying of Jesus. Why? Because if we are united with Jesus in a death like his, we shall most certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. X marks the spot. What are we preaching? Because we're all preaching. Did you know that the British Army used to have a firing squad? And that what they would do is, if someone was going to be executed, they would take a piece of paper and they would put in black ink an X. And it would be put right over the heart so that the firing squad knew where to target. You see, I'm convinced, and this was so small, this little X there, that little cross, I'm convinced that a lot of people want to keep the cross of Jesus Christ really small. Because the closer we get to Jesus, ask the women, they read Bible study on Thursday. They'll tell you. The closer we get to Jesus, the bigger the cross becomes. Seriously. And if we've got a cross on us, that means we've got a target. And Satan has one goal and ambition: to kill, steal, and destroy. John chapter 10. Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. But Satan wants to destroy those who have been marked with the cross of Christ forever. St. Paul says, what do you think we're preaching? Because we're all preachers. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Was one of the first verses that I memorized, you know, by choice. Sometimes in Sunday school and other things, they're telling you what to memorize. But 2 Corinthians 4, 5, probably when I was about 7th, 8th, 9th grader, I thought, oh, I like this. Not because I always adhere to it, but because I know that it's the truth. It proclaims, preaches the truth. For what we preach is not ourselves. Well, if you're not going to spend all your time talking about yourself, who are you going to talk about? This friend of mine in the past, his name was Denny. Denny would always say, after going on with self-adulation for 10 or 15 minutes, he'd say, you know what, Pastor Dave, I'm tired of talking about myself. Will you talk about me for a while? St. Paul says, what we preach, because everybody's preaching something and someone, is not ourselves. Well, then what are we going to preach? Jesus Messiah. Jesus Christos. Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, people are going to want to know, so what do you think about Jesus? Well, I think that, you know, I was in the medical field. He was an amazing physician. I mean, even better than Mayo. He made those who were even on deathbed, well and alive. What do you say about Jesus? Well, you know, I've been in academics, and I know about learning, so I would say he was an amazing teacher. Someone else might say, well, he was a miracle worker. Or he was a prophet, you know. But that's not who Jesus is. Jesus Christ is Lord. The first creed, I believe, of the church. Not Caesar, not my car, not my house, not even my spouse or my children, not myself, to be sure. Jesus Christ is Lord. So then, Paul says, what about me? What about me, myself, and I? What about me? Well, we are your servants. The word is actually doulos, which means slaves. If Jesus is your master, then you are his slaves, owned property. We are your slaves for Jesus' sake. I mean, this isn't about being exploited. This is about being servants and slaves of one another out of reverence for Christ. And this is about recognizing that we were created disposable with an imperishable treasure. So bring it on, Satan. Because the closer we get to Jesus, the larger that cross is going to become. But if we die with Christ, we shall also rise with Christ and live with him forever. So we are the vessels, you see? We are the vessels, the earthen vessels that God uses to transport the message of salvation, that Jesus is Lord, into the world. I know, it doesn't make sense. Who would have thought it? Who could have imagined it? And in our world and in our churches, we have a tendency, a temptation to confuse the container with the contents. Paul addresses the church in Corinth. He spent, during his second missionary journey, 18 months there. He addresses them and says, please don't confuse the container with the contents. The container is not Lord. The treasure, Jesus Christ, is Lord. And Paul will preach it with his dying breath. There was a couple who were cleaning out their house, and they were taking it out to the trash heap. We used to call that the dump. They get out to the dump, and they see this old headboard, a wooden headboard. Now, the wife looks at it, and then she looks at her husband and says, what do you think? He said, it's a piece of junk. She said, yeah, but you're into carpentry and stuff. You can fix things. Could we fix it and make it into something usable? He said, well, it's really worthless, but we've got an empty trailer. If you want me to, I'll put it in the trailer. We'll take it home, and we'll just mess with it. And so husband and wife, they're taking this big, heavy headboard of a bed, and they throw it into the trailer because there's nothing much you can do to it. It's already a mess, right? That's why it was thrown away. And as they do that, these corner posts on the headboard, there's a cap on them. The cap comes off, and out comes dozens of gold coins from the 1800s. In the other one, too, where the cap is still on. Now, do you think we would confuse the treasure with the earthen vessel? Or a couple over in West London. Mom and dad in old age had passed away, and so here's about a 68, 72-year-old couple. They've lost mom and dad, you know, and so the daughter has inherited the house. It's not much. It's just an earthen vessel. And they go in there, and they're kind of cleaning it up, getting it ready so they can sell it, etc. And they find a vase. It's not like this earthen one, but it was a vase, and they thought, maybe this is worth something. And so they checked it out. And they said, oh, you're going to want to put this on one of those big fancy auctions because this could be worth $1 to $2 million. In this old, cluttered, junky house, who would have imagined it, right? So they get this prestigious auctioneer, high-end people, to see if, in fact, they can get it. They find out that it is a Qing Dynasty vase from the 18th century. Qing Chinese vase from the 18th century. But they didn't get $2 million for it. They got $69 million for it. Now, do you think that we would confuse the treasure with the earthen vessel? Huh? St. Paul says, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants, your slaves, for Jesus' sake. We have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the transcendent power belongs to God, not to us. Yes, we're all going to preach. And are we going to spend all of our time preaching about ourselves? Or are we going to preach about Jesus? What will we preach? Jesus is Lord. What will we preach? Acts 4:12. There is salvation only in the name of Jesus Christ. What will we preach? We are justified by faith alone, in Christ alone, by God's almighty grace alone. We are disposable containers. But by God's grace, we are bearers of a priceless treasure. Jesus' priceless treasure, source of purest pleasure, truest friend to me. Oh, how long I panted, and my heart has fainted, thirsting, Lord, for thee. Thine I am, O spotless Lamb. I will suffer not to hide thee. You know what that means, right? Spare no expense. I will suffer not to hide thee. Why? Because Jesus will guide thee. The priceless treasure who chooses to take up residence in you and me? What a gift of God. What an undeserved treasure and mercy. And how do you know it's yours? Well, X marks the spot. You've been claimed. You belong. You're his possession. The Holy Spirit has created faith in you. You believe the good news. And so you preach. Jesus Christ is Lord. And the closer you get to Jesus, the bigger that cross will become. So, maybe you want to just keep it small. Or maybe not. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.